One of the big stories over the past week that we've spoken about on the breakfast show the other day, this news about a government plan to keep details of all the emails you send. Not just emails, but the plan will extend to text messages as well in the future. These new rules come into force in March and will require the government to pay internet service providers more than £25 million to ensure they keep the email addresses and the times of every email sent in the UK. A Home Office spokesperson said the data would be useful for combating crime, the fight against terrorism. That's what it's all about, they say. Now, not everyone is in favour, certainly not some of the civil liberty groups, and also some people within the industry as well, within the internet's ISP industry. Let's talk to Trev Davis, director of an internet service provider based locally in Newark, called Timico.
That's right.
Is that right? So how, are you quite a small one or a big one?
Well, we started 4 years ago, and 3 years ago we were with four of us in a stable block, actually. It's a classic story. And after 3 years, we came 10th in the Sunday Times Tech Track. And then last year we came 4th in the Sunday Times Tech Track. So we've gone from four people to about 140.
Really?
In that time.
And who are your clients then? Businesses?
Yeah, businesses.
Individuals?
We only do businesses. Yeah. But with people like, well, a whole range, from people like Vodafone and BP, and every Merco petrol station you see has got one of our broadbands in it, to thousands and thousands of businesses you've never heard of. Most people out there, you know, one-man bands, three, four-man bands.
Okay, so you're in the business. You know what all this is about. So you hear this news, and now, if this news means it helps catch terrorists, the fact that they almost date stamp every email that travels anywhere, surely that's good.
Of course it is. I mean, every sane person on the planet is going to, we want them to help, right? And we do, you know, we are obliged by law anyway to help the police if they ring up looking for information, provided it's reasonable. The issue is how do you define what's reasonable? And, I mean, this law here has been coming along for 2 years. It's basically a flow down from a European directive, and it's something the government hasn't something they've arranged themselves. They just have to do it, right? It started off with all phone call details and mobile call details, which people keep anyway because they want to know how much to charge for the phone call, right? But classically people haven't kept emails, and so it's a big job for the industry to be able to put the infrastructure into place to record them, which is why they're saying it's 25 million. They're saying between 25 and 75 million, and the likelihood is that most people haven't implemented it yet. The big issue is why bother? What's the point? Because when you've got so many different ways you can communicate now, instant messages, leaving things on Facebook or whatever, or even if you wanted to send an email, you can log on to a website like Google, create an email and save it as a draft and never send it, and then somebody else in the organisation just have to log on to the same account, see what the guy said and delete it. And hey presto, no record of any email sent, but the terrorists still get away with what they want to do, right?
And so, the very fact that we're all talking about it, surely anyone with any intelligence thinks, right, now they're monitoring, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, of course. And the worst thing is, well, there are a couple of things. One is that having had all the furore from the industry over the last couple of years, the government at the moment is about turning and saying, well, we'll make the biggest ISPs do it, but we'll sort of see how it goes for the smaller guys. And the next step on is they're now talking about not just saving email data, they're talking about centrally storing every single type of communications you can think about, right? They're physically, they're actually talking to us now about doing that. And that's not just a £75 million job, that's a billions of pounds job. And the biggest issue there is you hear all the stories in the press about people losing laptops or memory sticks being stolen with millions of bank account details. It's so easy to do that. And would you want all your personal comms data stored centrally? It's, you know, where someone can just accidentally lose it, and all these accesses to accounts which may have your credit card details.
Just be clear what they're talking about, because there was some confusion last week when this was in the news. It's not necessarily what you're writing
no,
in the
right.
email.
Well, that would be impractical.
It's yeah. who you're contacting, so the email address, and when you contacted them.
Yeah.
That's the information.
The information tells you who sent it and who's receiving it, and it also gives the information, technical information like IP addresses, and so that it allows people to trace where they were at the time.
So when you were saying that the biggest ISPs are being they're involved in this more, that they've been given money. Would you be given money to
well, interestingly, I had a meeting arranged with the guy from police, from the Home Office, on the day that the press release, or the day before the press release came out. I'm presuming it must have been a rights activist type organisation that published it. But he cancelled it at the last moment because he said, he wouldn't say why, but it was clearly that the Home Office knew that this was coming along because it's something that we've known about for a couple of years, right? And yes, we would do it because it's law. It's something that we would do grudgingly, but as it happens, they're willing to pay for it. So
there must be, there must be loads of internet service providers.
Hundreds, if not thousands.
Because we know some of the big ones, but there are many, many more.
Well, I'm on the board of the UK ISP Association, and they've got 300 members, and that's tip of the iceberg. I mean, the thing is though. The big six, so-called, the BTs and Carphone Warehouses of this world, represent something like 95% of consumers. So the others are primarily business or very niche consumer ISPs. Of course, what it suggests is that if you're a terrorist, don't have an email account with one of the big guys. Just go to a smaller guy. You're far less likely to be caught in the short term, at least. You know.
What is the answer, then? If in this industry, in the techie world, can you do anything? Should you do anything?
Well, I think the perceived wisdom is that we should be spending a lot more money on online policing. You know, we have feet on the street now, people watching notional terrorists, following them, etc. Well, there's an awful lot that you could be doing online using just computers to track people down that perhaps we're not doing at the moment. Because it's not just tracking terrorism, it's tracking things like child pornography, illegal peer-to-peer music and film downloading. That's another big issue that's coming along the tracks. The whole UK music industry has got together to collaborate to try and talk to the ISP industry to how they can stop it. Because, of course, we can potentially see who's downloading what. The question is, it's not our responsibility, and although we have an agreement with the music industry that if they spot somebody who's doing some peer-to-peer downloading, they let us know who it is, and we've got what they call a three strikes and you're out scheme, where we'll contact the person and say, look, it's obvious that you're downloading a lot of illegal stuff here, you've been spotted, you've got to stop, and then if they don't stop, then we move on to a letter saying, if you do it the next time, you stop, and then third time you're out, right? We've never had to do it, although we have to contact the people. But it's full of contentions, because how do you prove how do you prove that it was that person doing the downloading? How do you know somebody next door wasn't picking up on his wireless network?
Yeah, this is the issue we were talking about the other day. When we were talking to our business correspondent about that, they'll say, make sure you know what your teenage children are doing upstairs, because it all comes down to your name on the bill.
Exactly. Especially... more ISPs are now moving towards charging based on a usage model. The old days where you can have unlimited downloads have gone because it's too expensive. With all this, for example, when the Olympics were on, the usage of the internet rose by 23% for that fortnight. And that 23% is an infrastructure, is cost to an ISP that they don't necessarily cover in the revenues that they get in, right? The only way around it is by saying, you've got to pay for what you use, which is in a sense, you think it's fair, isn't it? It means that people who download lots and lots of big, heavy files have to pay more than people who just occasionally look on the newspaper online or something.
Yeah. I'm asking questions. I'm probably getting too far into your business now. Why does it cost you more as an ISP
when
somebody at home downloads?
You've got your broadband connection. You've got your router in your house or your modem in the house, okay, and it's stuck into the phone line. And at the BT exchange, there's a piece of equipment which connects to the phone line and connects your broadband connection to our network. And it's when you go onto the internet, you go down the BT line into our network and then out onto the internet. And we actually have to pay BT to use that connection. And it costs us, basically, the more people use it, the more we have to pay. And it's the same for everybody.
So when the BBC introduces something like the BBC...
It's a nightmare.
The BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
Watch Never Meet the Unmissable. And suddenly the ISPs are going, whoa, hang on a second.
It's okay. As a business ISP, basically we charge people based on what they use anyway. But consumer ISPs have a big problem with it.
Because all the time, there are more and more applications and people are putting stuff out there for you to grab and for you to download, aren't they?
Ofcom release, Ofcom's the government regulator, and they do periodic surveys on everything. And they released a customer satisfaction survey on broadband. And 93% of people were by and large satisfied with their broadband. But it dropped to 61% of people satisfied when they were watching online TV, right? And that's because all these videos take up a lot of space on the limited... It's like if you turn a tap on, okay? There's only a limited amount of water that can come out of that tap. So if you're trying to get more and more water, more and more videos down that tap, then something's going to suffer and not all the videos going to come through, right? So that's why the quality starts degrading and dissatisfaction appears. And as the BBC sticks more and more stuff online, and as other, you know, other stations are doing the same thing, and all of, I mean, YouTube, you know, millions of hits every night, then that all costs money. And the more people do it, the more, what we do classically is we invest in more and more capacity, but of course this is all costs. It's the other side, isn't it?
That you know, we're sitting there at the computer, you're behind the scenes thinking, don't do that.
Well, we don't mind because we charge people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In the business world, you can look. We've moved away from the security side, but you would say that there needs to be more policing actually online.
Yeah, that's the perceived. That's what we're saying.
But surely, if you were doing that, you would need the same information that we're talking about that the government wants to know who's emailing who and at what time.
That's a good point, isn't it? Well, there are uses of websites and stuff that don't necessarily have to be monitored. I mean, there is a security organisation that specifically looks out for child pornography. And people send in leads to them. I mean, they get maybe 1,000 leads a day saying, "We found this website. It's not very nice." And there's a cartel, if I'm not to call it, an organisation that most ISPs subscribe to, and say these websites are dodgy, and we block them. Right? So I don't really know how you would apply the same logic to email. I guess it's one of those areas that not enough work has been put into, but. Certainly, it sounds to us that it would be a more worthwhile and valid thing to do rather than just storing everyone's personal email data.